Earlier this week, we talked about virtual reality as a growing tool in business and marketing. Heretofore, its primary home has been in gaming. Now, this computer-generated simulation is going to work. There are many potential applications, and as was mentioned in our earlier program, it may even find a place in journalism, or will it? Joining me in studio now is Kimberly Springer, St. Louis Public Radio's engagement producer. Interesting subject. I wonder if you have given any thought to the notion of virtual reality as a tool in journalism.
Well, I'm no expert, but I play one in virtual reality, and I like to just look at how we're thinking about storytelling when it comes to virtual reality, because, of course, that's our primary mission, storytelling, fact-checking, investigating. So I had a look around, because I've been just looking at apps on my own and different projects that people are using, and there's definitely a rise in immersive journalism. So the idea that you are putting people on the scene in a very real way.
But, you know, when I think of virtual reality, I think of somewhat unwieldy, people wearing these goggles and going, you know, their brain is playing tricks on them, they're going someplace else.
Right.
How might we apply that?
There was one person, he's the president of premium content at CNN, and he had a really interesting way of thinking about it that I've adopted. He called it the witness test. And this test asks, is there a presence in the room or environment that helps you understand the story more deeply? So we already have the tools in journalism through our reporters and also through just the way we think about gathering facts. But is virtual reality going to add anything? And that's also how I think about social media, because we're not just trying to use every shiny tool that comes along.
Yeah.
We really want to be dedicated to journalism's mission.
Well, we had a conversation the other day, you and I, about some experiences you've had in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I went to Berlin last year around this time, and the Center for Investigative Journalism had a pop-up shop in a neighborhood in Berlin, and they were just showing people how they were using virtual reality. So the story that they had, after I put on the headset, it was about a young woman who had left a cult situation. And so in the virtual reality, you could see the different neighborhoods where she lived, the parts of the compound where she had also lived. And then also we got to meet some of the people who helped her escape that situation. So it was definitely immersive in the sense that I was getting her story in a very visceral, visual, and audio way.
How does the consumer of this information get at that video? Is it simply done with the computer or the telephone or whatever device you're working with?
Right now, it seems like places like the New York Times, the Washington Post, also the Guardian, for example, are focused on being able to access these things on your phone. So there was something I was looking at yesterday that was from the New York Times, and they do something called the Daily 360. So they're using 360 virtual reality technology to take you into a space and into a story, and they post a different story every day. So one of them that I looked at was about the Yucatan Peninsula and the pink waters there and why the waters are pink, and you could see the process that way up close and personal.
I wonder if there are any ethical considerations to be concerned about, because through this medium you can influence, whereas journalists sometimes don't want to influence, they just want to report.
Exactly. There are questions about the role of empathy. So is it too much advocacy to, for example, take people into a homeless encampment? And also there are questions about suppositions that we're making. So if we're taking a set of photographs, which are 2D, and we're creating a 3D experience, we're filling in the blanks for people in ways that some journalists might not be comfortable with. And there are also questions about whether or not we are presenting all of the views possible and how to do that in virtual reality.
In a much different way, this has come up before when on television in particular, where they'll use music as a background to news reports. And that has a very powerful potential to change opinion and change a view of a story.
Yeah, we're creating an atmosphere and doing something very specific with our editing. So I believe the Online News Association is taking on this challenge in terms of thinking about what the ethics are around this particular technology.
And if you've got the New York Times already working with this and trying to figure out how to use it, I guess it's an indication that it's probably going to be happening before for too very long.
I've seen some predictions that are saying, you know, 3 to 4 years, we might have widespread adoption.
Mm-hmm. You also, and our time is running down, but you also mentioned the other day about its use in doing a report on solitary confinement in a
right.
jail. Very quickly, what was that all about?
The Guardian did a report called 6x9, which is the actual space of being in solitary confinement. And I put on a headset, or I actually used it on my phone to look at the space, and it was very claustrophobic. So it was very effective in relaying what it's like for people to be in solitary confinement.
I imagine it would be. Well, the way technology has changed everything in the last years is really quite remarkable. So I guess we can anticipate that there'll be a lot more talk about virtual reality in journalism.
That's true.
Thank you so much, Kimberly Springer, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Most fascinating indeed. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you.